This is Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. Before most of us learned of the horrendous problems with Flint's water, Snyder administration officials were emailing back and forth about Flint and its water problems. A lot. We would not have learned much of this until the governor voluntarily released batches of emails. That's because the governor and the legislature are exempt from Michigan's Freedom of Information Act. That could change. This week, 37 state lawmakers from both sides of the aisle introduced a package of bills that would remove those exemptions. So keep your eye on LORA, the Legislative Open Records Act. Back to Flint water. Were it not for the efforts of a tiny group of determined journalists using their investigative skills, along with the power of the Freedom of Information Act, people in Flint might yet be drinking lead-poisoned water. One of those journalists is with us now. Kurt Goyette is an investigative reporter for the ACLU of Michigan. Even as state and local officials repeated their mantra that all was well with Flint's water, Kurt was uncovering the truth. Kurt Goyette, welcome to Stateside.
Well, it's a pleasure being here.
Kurt, as we know, Flint made that fateful switch to river water in April 2014. I'm wondering how and when did you first get wind that there were problems with this new water source?
I started paying attention January, February of 2015, which is when the state revealed that there were high levels of total trihalomethanes in the water. They're called TTHMs for short, and they're a carcinogenic byproduct of chlorine. The reason they upped the chlorine was because originally they had E. coli problems, and so they were upping the chlorine to kill the bacteria. And then that led to elevated levels of the TTHMs. And the state didn't reveal that for many months, that they were present in elevated levels in the water. And once it came out, people were just outraged because they had been complaining about the water from the beginning, taste, smell, looks, hair falling out, rashes, starts springing up. But the TTHMs really seemed to really push people over the edge as far as just, you know, really turning out at meetings demanding that their water source be changed back to Detroit.
So starting at the beginning, a little over a year ago then, January, February of 2015, being Sunshine Week, I'm really interested in getting an idea of what it took for you to peel away those layers and layers of officials insisting, no, 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 all is well, and to get to the truth about what was coming out of taps in Flint. And with that, I'm wondering, how important was the Freedom of Information Act for you in this work?
Oh, it was very important, because what we were able to show through documents obtained through FOIA, one is the timeline in terms of lead, that we know that the EPA started to communicate with the Michigan Department of Environmental Quality in February of 2015 regarding concerns about lead levels in Flint's water and whether or not the state was using corrosion control phosphates in the water. So we know then that that's when questions started to be raised. We know that initially the state claimed to have a corrosion control program in place when it really didn't. The other side of it is what we found out through obtaining FOIA is what was going on the city side. Although people need to remember that even though you say the city side, this is at a point when the city was under the control of a state-appointed emergency manager. What was going on in terms of the testing procedures? I should also say that, how did I get to this? There was a lot of help from citizens, and there was a lot of help from Mark Edwards at Virginia Tech, who was filing FOIAs of his own. So it was not just me doing this. And the, you know, citizens were helping me understand things that were going on. Mark Edwards was helping me understand the science and give me direction as to sort of things to go after for the FOIAs. So there was a lot of help. This was by no means a lone effort. But we found out that the city was not following the law in terms of how they were doing their testing. They were supposed to verify that every home being tested was a high-risk home, meaning it had either a lead service line or lead in the plumbing. One of the things, you know, one of the revealing things through FOIA was something that was not produced, which was I asked them for their documentation showing how they verified that these homes were high-risk homes, as the law required. And they did not produce it. They said, we didn't produce it because we don't have the records.
Connecting the dots. And it finally broke open, as we all know. Once we started seeing those internal emails and memos, either through the FOIA request or as released by the governor's office, because we know that the governor's office is not subject to FOIA, the executive branch in Michigan is not. But we read it for ourselves, that dismissive, jeering tone, like apparently this is going to be a thing now. And those very deliberate choices staffers made to sidestep FOIA, such as we're not copying the DEQ because of FOIA. How did you feel as you read that?
It became very, very clear when all those emails were released that the state, their primary response was not to see this as a public health crisis, it was to see it as a PR problem. And that's just sickening. It is completely sickening. And, you know, in terms of the other stuff, what did we see? We saw how much there was delay going on. There's just a lot of revealing things have come out. There was just one that was mentioned in the congressional hearings the other day from the EPA, which was after the crisis had been discovered and revealed, and there was issue of sending filters to Flint, and someone at the EPA said, is Flint a community that we want to go out on the limb for? So it was not just the state. The EPA really got hammered, and rightfully so. My attention's been on the state, and especially the emergency manager, but it's really mind-boggling how much the EPA fell down on the job as well.
Kurt, as you know very, very well, we've been talking about it on Stateside, the Center for Public Integrity and Global Integrity put Michigan dead last, 50th out of the 50 states in terms of state ethics and transparency laws. Kurt, do you hold out any realistic hope that all of this that's been involved in ripping apart, the layers around the Flint water tragedy, could this propel Michigan policymakers to make reforms and begin an earnest push toward more transparency and accountability?
Boy, it certainly should. It's hard to talk about good things coming out of a tragedy like Flint. But I think that given the attention that's been on, especially the exemptions, that there could be momentum to try to change those laws and make them better. So, I'm in Pennsylvania talking to people and about FOIA stuff, and I tell them about what's going on in Michigan, and their jaws just drop at how far behind we are of other places.
Kurt Guyette is an investigative reporter for the ACLU of Michigan. Kurt, thank you so much for speaking with us on Stateside today.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Thank you.